Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. I know that there's going to be people out here that heard that singing that are going to want to know what's going on over there. So I told Roger, we need to send some sentries out for people that I saw walking along and stopping and make sure they let them know what's going on here. Amen. Now, can you guys help me tell everybody what's going on here? Can you help me? You're all, is anybody out there? We want to invite you to the worship service of the Chicago International Christian Church. Amen. I understand there's been a lot going on since I was out of town for a few days. I understand that Leah is back from Africa. Stand up, Leah. Come on. Amen. And I understand that love is in the air every time I look around. Do I understand that Will and JL are now dating exclusively? Come on now, stand on up. All I can say is, brother, you must be being very righteous. Amen. For the Lord has blessed you. Today, we gather to celebrate our Independence Day. And so I say happy 5th of July. 4th is over. We won. Amen. And we come together to celebrate our independence. We come together to celebrate our freedom. So the title of our little communion lesson here today, and the question I have for every one of us, what will you do with your freedom? What will you do with your freedom? And we're going to talk about that, but before we do, I want to get Joel and Brittany up here. Come on up, Joel and Brittany. The past week or so, we were able to go down and spend time with our sister church, with the remnant group that is in Orlando, the Orlando International Christian Church. And Joel and Brittany came down for about 5 days, and every single day they worked with the church in Orlando. And I want them to be able to share what they loved about being there and what they learned about being there, and then we'll go ahead and dive into this service. What will you do with your freedom? Amen.
There's a scripture here that I'm reminded of when we were with the church. It's here in Jude, verse 20. It says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire, and save them." You know, the thing that really hit me the most about the church down in Orlando is how focused they are on saving the lost. It was pretty cool. Monday night, we had the opportunity to go to their Bible talk up at the University of Central Florida. And on our way there, me and Brittany, we were starved. We hadn't eaten all day, and so we went and grabbed a bite to eat. And Anthony Eccles, who's leading the church down there, gives me a call, and like 10 seconds into our conversation, he goes, hold on 1 second, bro. And he just starts sharing his faith for like 8 minutes. And I'm sitting there on the phone. I look at Paula, who's one of the single sisters down there, and I'm like, what should I do? Should I hang up the phone, or should I just like wait for him to be done? Because he was going from person to person to person. I don't know if he was like trying to inspire me or something. It worked. It was awesome. And so I finally just hung up on him, and he called me back very shortly after. He's like, "Sorry about that, bro. Just trying to save the lost here." And it really, really showed a heart for the lost.
Amen.
And we were at Bible Talk. We had like 4 or 5 visitors out. A couple people just that were sitting in the tables around us. We called them over. They set up studies with almost all of them, got all their phone numbers. And they are just extremely focused on doing the work of God and then sharing their faith. And afterwards, it was great. We went out, we prayed by this huge fountain, and just cried out to God for the city. And it was just very, very powerful to see how focused on the mission they were, down there in Florida. And it really inspired me. You know, when I first came here to Chicago on the original mission team, we were on it. We were sharing our faith for hours every day. Sometimes we would meet 100 people a day each. And we were just sharing our faith, getting phone numbers. I remember one day, I got 14 phone numbers of people that want to study the Bible one day when we first got out here. And it really showed me how far I have strayed from that mindset and how dull I have become. And it was incredibly inspiring. It's been great being back ever since. So I am just very, very excited and very excited to be back here with the ministry just to work hard for God and renew that mission spirit.
Amen.
So.
Come on, Joel, preach.
Well, I had a lot of fun down in Orlando getting a tan and and being with the church down there. There were probably about a dozen disciples, two women, well, three of the women had husbands who weren't disciples yet, one single woman, and then the Eccles. And they only had two campus brothers, and one of them, something happened that weekend, and he couldn't be with us. But one brother, he was the only campus, well, like I said, there were two campus brothers on his campus, but he was the only guy there when we were there. And he was so excited to see us and to be with us and just be around us and be in our presence. We went to UCF, the University of Central Florida, for Bible Talk on Monday, like Joel said, and he just wanted to give us a tour of everything. He's like, let's go in the psychology building, and he's like, this is where we play football, this is where we do this, this is where we do that. Joel and I are like, cool, you know, we're not thinking of coming here or anything, but, you know, it's great to see where you go to school. But he was just lit up. He was so happy just to see other campus disciples, because the only campus disciple he knows is this other guy who's a baby Christian just like him.
Wow.
And so for him to see people his age are doing something around the world in different parts of the world just really gave him vision, I know,
yes,
for his campus and for his football team and for his family. And for me, on our drive back to the airport, I was just thinking about that and thinking about how we so often take relationships for granted. Like, our campus ministry when we moved here was only a handful, maybe about three, and now it's grown to be a lot, maybe around 20 or more.
Come on.
And when the group starts getting bigger, it's easy to get lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to start doing your own thing.
Yep.
And not really engaging with people anymore.
Wow.
And I think that it's so key just to be so grateful for the relationships,
yes,
we have.
Yes.
And it's cool too, because Orlando is so spread out, like LA. I mean, I would sleep in the car because it would take like an hour just to get to somewhere.
Yeah.
So if I got to bed late the next night, I knew I'd have time in the car because everything was so spread out. And the disciples, they used to be really spread out, and now they're moving closer together.
Yep.
But Chicago is not that spread out at all. I mean, the suburbs are, but within Chicago, 20 minutes like is a long time.
Yep.
For them, 20 minutes you could get to the grocery store. And since we're so close together, I think we just got to be working on our relationships more and staying grateful and keeping that mindset of, like Joel said, the mission team mindset.
There you go.
Amen. I learned a lot.
Great job. Come on. Amen, guys. Thank you. So what will you do with your freedom? You know, in Genesis chapter 1, God creates man and woman. And we all say, thank you, God, amen, for creating us and the opposite sex, amen. Then he gave them a rule. One rule. He said, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what do? We broke the one rule there was. You know why? We don't like rules. We want to be free. You with me? As a country, we didn't like England's rules. We want to be free. Maybe as a church. We don't like rules. That's why Diotrephes in the Bible would not allow Paul in. We are independent. We're autonomous. We are self-governed. Is that what you'll do with your freedom? I don't need anybody in. If you're a visitor today, we want you to know something. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. I believe that's what sets us apart from so many religious people. And I can say that because I used to be one of them. I used to go to church, talk about Jesus when He came up, but I did not live as a follower and a learner with every fiber of my being to walk like Jesus did. I did not have anybody in my life teaching me to obey all the commands He gave us. And I wasn't in people's lives teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded me to obey. That's what we're all about. That's discipleship. And I've got to convince you today, okay? If you're tempted to drift off, listen to this. Ephesians 6, which we teach our children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That things will go well with you, and that you'll enjoy long life on the earth. Is that what you want? You want things to go well? You want to enjoy long life? You got to obey your parents. And if you don't have spiritual parents, then you're an illegitimate child. But we don't like rules. We want to be grown. How about children? I know we got third grade enough with us today. Y'all want to be grown. My kids already let me know they want to be out of the house. Austin wants to ride the train by himself to school. I said, you can ride the train by yourself to school just as soon as you're married. No problem. My awesome daughter, you know, my daughter's so thoughtful. She wrote me a card for Father's Day and a beautiful poem. She writes poems. You know, roses are red, violets are blue. You're a great daddy, you know, too, or something. I mean, she did better than that. But then she wrote, I know you know I'm not a child anymore. So please don't treat me like a child, for you know I'm not. I'm almost a preteen. And I tell you, I was out with my daughter last night playing catch in the park. She was making me die laughing. She was so making these dance moves before I throw the ball to her. I couldn't even throw the ball straight. I don't know if I'm ready to think she's grown. But I know as kids we think we're grown. Because we don't like rules. And in a one-rule world, we blew it. Now, here's something else you got to hear. You're free. But there are consequences for our decisions. Because they ate the one tree they shouldn't have eaten from. Or the fruit from the tree they shouldn't have eaten from. God said, don't eat from that tree or you will surely die. What did the devil tell them? Well, you won't surely die. But what happened? Consequence was death. How much do we suffer from death, guys? Even while we're in Orlando, I got the text. Michael Jackson has died. I got texts from so many people. And here's a man, I remember seeing his concert live in Madison Square Garden in 1988 in New York City. And I know some of you are born that year, I know. Yeah, but you're grown, amen. This man's music gave joy to a generation. I know JL's favorite song is Pretty Young Thing, right? She loves that song. So, I loved his music, but he's gone. And what will he get for it now? That's between him and God. While I was in Orlando, I got a call from Debs, the leader of the women in India. she said, Chris, it's 5:30 in the morning here, but I needed to call you because Raja's father just passed away. Raja's our leader in India. And God willing, after the L.A. trip, the second week of August, God willing, Raja and Debs are going to be with us for 5 days here in the Chicago church. Amen. And we're going to get to see some of the missionaries you support with your missions contribution. Raja, he let me know, Chris, it's so hard. I had to take my dad's body 20 hours in an ambulance through the hot countryside of India to my family. I haven't slept for 2 days and two nights. Could you imagine a world without death? What an amazing world. The Garden of Eden. But that's the consequence of our sin. Then, the other consequence is, guys, you're going to work hard. You're going to toil over the land. And ladies, there's going to be great pain in childbirth. Now, I know some of you right now are thinking, man, if we just wouldn't have ate that fruit, I wouldn't have to toil so hard. I could just mow the grass and take care of the animals. Amen. And ladies, it may not be often, but we're here in the pains of childbirth. Maybe you wish we hadn't ate that fruit right there, you know? Go to Genesis chapter 4. What will you do with your freedom? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says here, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. You got to take a look at this right here. Could you imagine the first baby ever born? It's like, what's going on? I mean, you don't know what's happening. And then maybe you see one of the animals have an animal, and you're like, whoa, is that what's happening to me? And then out comes a man. And that's what Eve says. With the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man. And I imagine some of those pains of childbirth right there. It wasn't an easy thing that was done. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face became downcast. What will you do with your freedom? Guess what you get to decide? You get to decide what work you'll do. You want to keep the flocks? Or you want to work the soil? But you have to decide. What will you do with your freedom? And then guess what? You're going to bring forth a crop from whatever you do. Fruit from whatever you do. Guess what else you get to decide? What will I give back to God? Right? Abel kept the flocks. Cain worked the soil. Cain brought some of what he had and gave it to God. He didn't just give nothing. You with me? But Abel brought fat portions. He gave God more. What will you do with your freedom? Will you give God more? You know, we have a saying in the church. Everybody won't be full-time paid in the ministry. But everybody needs to have a full-time heart for God. Would you do more for God if you're paid? I hope only if you had more time, that means you'd do more. But would your heart be more devoted if it was your job? See, we only want to hire people in the ministry that prove they have a full-time heart before they're full-time paid. Because then they'll use that time wisely when they work for God. You don't get to be, well, I'm just a member. I don't have to have a wholehearted devotion to God. Cain gave some. Don't be Cain today. What will you do with your freedom? Because God will also look at you and decide whether or not to look at what you do with favor or not. God looked at Abel with favor. And remember, if you want to enjoy long life on the earth, I feel like so many of us cut off our nose to spite our face. We are rebellious. We are defiant. We don't give God our best. And then we wonder why we're not enjoying long life on the earth. I'm talking to the kids. I'm talking to the adults. What will you do with your freedom? Learn from this lesson and give God your very best. Now, what happened from here? Let's read. It says, Cain was angry. He should have been angry with himself for not giving God his very best. And it don't take a rocket science to get that one. You with me? But instead, who was he angry at? He was angry at his brother. He was angry at his brother for giving better to God. Maybe he thought, man, if you weren't giving such good stuff to God, then my sacrifice would look better. But because you're giving more, then it looks like I'm giving less. But he was giving less. And God's smart enough to judge him separately. I don't think it's because of what Abel did. God just knew Cain's heart. Guys, I didn't write this rule. It's all or nothing with God. You got to be sold out or you're gone. Satan will get you. He'll get your heart and he'll take you out of the kingdom if you don't give God all your heart. And if you're going to church wondering, how come I'm not doing awesome? Going to church don't make you do awesome. Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Then he'll look with favor on that sacrifice. Are you guys with me? So, Cain's in a bit of hurt right here. He's mad. And he's sad. Maybe there's somebody out here today who's mad. And maybe you're sad. Maybe you're mad at me. Man, as minister, I came out here for a barbecue. Celebrate my independence. And he's trying to make me feel bad. No, I'm trying to make your life awesome. But what does God do with Cain? You know, we're about to read one of the coolest, most insightful scriptures in the whole Bible. Because God is about to have a D-time with Cain directly. And you know, you often wonder, those of you that are trying to teach others to obey God, don't we always think, man, I got to have the crankiest tea time in the world or this person won't change. I better take them out and buy them their favorite food. Just to get them all in a good feeling, you know. And then, oh, I better have some insight from the scripture that they have never seen ever. And then they'll be, whoa, and they'll change. Well, let's see what God Almighty did for tea time. All right. Verse 6. Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? No beating around the bush. No buttering him up. He just got right down to it. Hey, dude, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? You know, you just got to ask the question if you love him. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? There it is, guys. There's the depth of D time. There's the incredible advice that saved a soul, or that could have. Hey, what's wrong? Oh, well, just do what's right. That's God Almighty's D time. I think that's all we need to do for each other. Hey, what's wrong? Oh, well, do what's right. That's tea time. Now, look at this. You also got to make it clear what will happen if you don't. if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. What's the depth of God's deep time? Hey, why are you not doing well? It looks like sin is mastering you. You know what? Just do what's right and master it instead. All right, let's pray. Oh, well, you pray to me. Whatever. You know, amen. Are you with me, guys? And I hope all of you can understand, you are that close to freedom today. But what will you do with your freedom? If we read on, you're going to find out Cain murdered his brother. After that deep time with God, Cain murdered his brother. And then God came back and followed up and said, where's your brother? And you know what Cain says? I don't know. That's a lie. He knew. You know, we lie a lot, don't we? No, you know why we lie? We lie because we want to look better than we really are. We want everybody to like us. We want to look good. I learned a lesson a long time ago. You'll never be your best until you're willing to look your worst. And God sees it anyway. You know that stuff I confessed to you 2 weeks ago? God already knew all that. It's the truth. That's why I want you to know. Let me tell you, the trip to Orlando, had a lot of time with God, a lot of time to pray, a lot of time to search my heart even deeper, guys. And I tell you what, I've just seen how much more and more dull that I've been. The more I see it, the more I go, oh my gosh, look how I've fallen. And I see it in my deceit, that I want to look better than the truth. David said, surely you desire truth in the inmost parts, Psalm 51. Is that your deep times? Do you have disciples in your life? And remember, we're disciples. If you think you can do this alone, you're sadly mistaken. And if you think you are alone, you're sadly mistaken. We're here with you. But the Proverbs say a fool delights in airing his own opinions. Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 12 says, if we hate correction, we're stupid. We got to stop being stupid and start mastering our sin. And that starts with being honest about our sin. You know, before I tell you how to master your sin, let me tell you how it wants to master you. Are you ready? The other day, I went in to get my car fixed. I had to get some adjustments done because I'm trying to turn in the lease. And I don't want them to charge me an arm and a leg. I've already got bum legs as it is. Anyway, okay, moving right along. thank you very much. Okay. We met a guy at the dealership, and he gave us a card to go to an off-site garage where he could touch up the paint. So I went there, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I said, hey, can I use your bathroom? He said, yeah, no problem, but don't shut it all the way because on the inside the handle will come off and you'll have a hard time getting out of there. I said, okay, thank you very much. I went in the bathroom and I didn't shut the door all the way. I mean, I shut it as far as it shut without, amen. And as I went in there, I looked on the ground. And there was a Rolling Stone magazine with a woman on the front cover. And she was clothed, but she was still in a sexy pose. You with me here?
Yeah.
Oh, the third graders are in here. You watch Disney lately?
Yeah, talk about it,
bro. Listen, our world is an impure place. And if we don't walk in the light, you never, ever got a chance here. What will you do with your freedom? Our country was founded on principles of one nation under God. Our money says, in God we trust. But I want you to look at how our world has changed in the last 60 years. You know, maybe some of you have seen reruns of Happy Days. You know, the 50s, where God was much more prevalent in American society. And the things we do today would have never been dreamt of being done then. Are you with me? In the last 60 years, more has changed than ever in the history of time with immorality and impurity. Now, I'm not saying old civilizations didn't have these problems. But man, we've perfected them today. And where in the 50s you'd say so many things today are wrong. The only thing that's wrong to say today is that any of those things are wrong. Why? Freedom. Freedom of speech. We can be here in the park preaching the word. Someone else can put whatever they want on our TVs and internets. And that's freedom. I went into this bathroom and I saw that on the ground and I said, nah. And I proceeded to take care of business. Now, here's where I got to confess my sin. And it's the sin of curiosity. I didn't look at the Rolling Stone. Remember when we studied about the sheep in the pen? When we studied about the fence crawler? You're in God's kingdom. It's beautiful. It's green. But you're always at the fence looking out to see what's out there. Even though the other land is brown and dirty, you think maybe there's something out there. The Rolling Stone magazine's right here. Instead, I take a look over my right shoulder. And right here, this high, is a stack of pornographic magazines. And the front cover is completely bare. And I immediately looked right forward. And a sticker on the mirror of a naked woman stared me in the face. I got out of there. I didn't even wash my hands. And on the way out the door, I just grabbed the handle, and the handle came off in my hand. And I'm like, ah! So I'm trying to put it back on, and it's halfway hanging off, and I just got out of there. And I made sure and invited those guys to church, because you know what they're doing in there. Another brother confessed the other night. He was at work. And a woman came up to him at work and said, "Hey, my friend likes you." He looked at her and he said, "I'm married." She yelled to her friend, "Hey, he's married." You know what she said? "That's okay, so am I." Guys, our world is sin crouching at your door. And if you think you can do it alone, you're stupid. You'll never make it. And I'm seeing just how dull I've been. Because let me tell you, a month ago, here's probably how that scene would have gone. I'd have probably stared a few more seconds at that Rolling Stone. I'd have probably stared a few more seconds at the cover of that magazine. I'd have probably washed my hands and looked two or three times at that sticker. And then I'd have called Roger up. I'd have confessed it all. But it would have been in there. More would have been in there. And the deceit of sin is when you let a little, you're headed for a lot. You think Cain just got up and said, "I'm going to murder Abel"? But he let it in. Guys, some of the way you're treating each other is so sinful. I hear of such jealousy in this church, such envy in this church. I hear of disrespect in this church. And I'm learning, and I got a long way to go, of treating people with more respect. For those of us that lasted it through the tribulation in our fellowship a few years ago, I think we could have summed up all the problems in the old church in one word. Respect. think what we were teaching or preaching was wrong. But when we do it, we've got to show true respect for every individual. You know why? Because every individual is free. You're free to choose what you want to do. And sometimes we want to make somebody else do something. I know I do. We want to make somebody do what we think is right. Instead, we just need to lay it out to them. You just need to do what's right. And then let them choose. Cain chose wrong. And if you read on, he got a consequence that made him cry. Oh, I can't bear this consequence. Too late. Psalm 36, 1 and 2 says, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God in their eyes. Our nation does not fear God, guys. Does our church? Do you as a disciple? If you fear God, stay with me, guys. If you fear God, you have no right to speak to your brother and sister with disrespect. You have no right. I have brothers and sisters having conversations you have no right to have. Who are you to tell them what to do? We need to teach each other to obey. How dare us go off in anger at each other? Deal with your own sin. Confess your own sin. The scripture goes on to say, there's no fear of God because we flatter ourselves. You with me? We flatter ourselves too much to hate or detect our own sin.
Come on.
That's where I've been, guys. I'm doing good. I'm standing. No, I'm flattering myself too much. I'm letting sin in. I'm not confessing the little stuff and it's leading to bigger stuff. I want to stay open, guys. You know, when I was a young Christian, after you do the sin and repentance study and you see what you see, and God keeps revealing your sin, and you know you need to repent, see, because that's the key, guys. Matthew 3, 8 says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. No fruit, no repentance. Do what's right. It'll be awesome. And some of us need to repent. Well, all of us need to repent today. That's the bottom line. If you want to deal with your sin, here's the process. You got to see it. And that means you may have to pray to see it. Then you got to hate it. Then you got to confess it. All of it. Andrew Smelly was talking to me a couple days ago. He said, my mom didn't die because of the 99% of the cancer that they took out of her body. She died because of the 1% they missed. That metastasized throughout her whole body and killed her. If we don't get serious about sin wanting to have us, we're dead.
Yep, that's right. Come on.
You gotta see it, you gotta hate it, you gotta confess it all, and then you gotta repent of it. And that means change.
Yep.
You gotta master it. When I was a young Christian, the man that discipled me, Steve Kennard, he must have told somebody about our D times. Because this other fella, Bill Burke, came up to me once and Bill had himself a southern accent like this. And he came up to me in a room one day. He said, hey, Broom. Man, Kennard said, when you come over for D time, when you sit on his couch, man, he said, you better buckle up, dude. Because Broom's just going to get open about all of it. That's how I want to be again, guys. I want you to go to your D time, your next D time with your disciple and partner, and say to them, buckle up. Because you got to get out the worst if you're ever going to be your best. One of the ladies that discipled my wife once taught her a way to do this. Start your D time by saying, my worst thought was bam. Now you don't have to ease on into it. And that's where the deceit comes in for me, where I want to look better. You know, hey, I just need to confess that I kind of thought maybe I might have just possibly have lusted. You with me? What is it for you that you have not talked about? You know it's not right. You know it. Or maybe you don't because your heart's just hard like mine was. You're dull. If you want to master your sin, you got to get it out there.
Come on.
As we prepare for communion, I want to get you to turn with me to John chapter 2. And let's look at Jesus. Let's look at what Jesus did with His freedom. John 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, He found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins and the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, He said, "Get these out of here! How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written in Psalm 69:9, "Zeal for your house will consume me." What did Jesus do with His freedom, guys? He was focused on serving God with all of his heart and all of his soul. And there in the temple that day, He dealt with the sin that He saw. He said, "Get this sin out of here." Now, how does that translate today? When the little kids come in church and want to sell us their school fundraiser, should we make a whip and crack it? Get these kids out of here!
Amen.
Hey, whoa! Amen, amen! Okay! No! What's the heart of this? They were trying to make money for themselves. They were trying to build their own house. And not God's house. Are you consumed with zeal for God's house? Like Jesus was? Or are you consumed with zeal for your own house? You got to take a deep look. Don't just say quickly, "Oh, God's house." Are you bringing fat portions to God or not? Jesus was full of zeal for God's house. Let me tell you something. God is ingenious about the purpose He gives us. Are you with me? When you're about your purpose, it's so much easier to stay righteous. Because if you're not about a purpose, all you got to do with your time is sin. Selfish. Build your own thing. But God says, follow Jesus. You know why so many of us are weak? Because we're not eating the food of discipleship. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father and finish His work." And in the end, Jesus finished His work by dying on a cross. That's what He did with His freedom. He laid His life down. 1 Corinthians 9 says, "You are free and belong to no man. But what will you do with your freedom?" It says, "I'm free, but I make myself a slave to win as many as possible." Look around at each other's faces. Are you willing to make yourself a slave? You're free, but will you choose to be a slave? Not to sin, but to righteousness and other people to win as many as possible. Next week, half of us will be here for church at Whitney Young, and Joe Chappetta will be preaching. And half of us are going to Syracuse, New York. Who's going to Syracuse? Yeah! Why is this so important? When Syracuse Church was about this size, think about this, all of you. This size church, they sent us, the Brooms, the Parlors, the Bouillets, all the young people, Joel, Brittany, Patrick, Ashley, Greg, I know I'm leaving somebody out. They sent 16 of us, right, to start this church. In 2 weeks, we celebrate our third anniversary. Amen? And look what's come of it. But here's the real test. How about if I told you today, guys, we're sending a team out. Teresa and I are leaving. We're taking Roger and Kama, Pat and Pam, all the young people I just mentioned, and we're going to start another church. But you will carry on. How would you feel? Would you be consumed with zeal and keep on going for the Lord? And then 2 years from now, you're going to send out Jay and Barb and 15 more to start another church, which is what they did with the Smellies in D.C. And you got to keep going. Are you ready for that? That's what they did. And next weekend's a chance to go home and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's all your grandchildren you never met before. Because that church is now about 60 disciples or so. It used to be over 100 before it sent these incredible teams. And they're fighting to be righteous and to be consumed with God. They didn't have to do that. They're free, but they made a decision to do it. And they still help support us. They call up, what else can we give you? That's their heart. So if any of you weren't planning on going to Syracuse but you have a real good reason, please go next week.
Amen.
And help them and tell them how grateful you are.
Amen.
Imagine yourself, as we take communion here, in a court of law. You've committed a horrendous crime and you've been caught. Maybe you murdered, maybe you raped, and that's pretty prevalent in our society today. And you're looking at the death penalty or life in prison. And all of a sudden the judge comes back and says, all right, you're free to go. And you don't want to ask any questions. Is this a mistake? No, no, you, okay, you're out of there as quick as I got out of that bathroom. You're like, I'm free, what's going on? Next day you get the paper. Judge's son sent to death row so you could go free. The judge's son said, Dad, send me. That's my good friend. Let them go free. And you go, that would never happen. That's foolishness. My Bible says the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And it was those stripes that were upon his back are what bought our peace. Now, what are you going to do with your freedom? You're free. You're going to go rape again? Murder again? Or are you going to say, oh my gosh, I should be on death row. I can't believe I've been given a second, third, 15th chance to change. I want to live the most righteous life. I want to be consumed with zeal for my God. The world is getting darker and darker. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But I say, that's okay, because the darker it gets, the brighter true disciples shine. What will we do with our freedom? We will lay our lives down to win as many as are possible. We will pray to see our sin, to hate our sin, to confess our sin, and to repent of our sin. We will say to each other, buckle up. Because when you change, you're going to have faith that others are going to change. But make no mistake, some will see our seriousness to deal with sin and get out of our church because they want to keep sinning. Make no mistake about it. So you better buckle up. But so many more will turn. They will change. And they will love God with all their heart. What will you do with your freedom? Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for your mercy, for your patience that brings salvation. I want to thank you and pray for every person in my hearing right now. God, they're precious. They're awesome. They're wonderfully and fearfully made. And I pray that no one here feels judged or condemned by me. But I pray they feel loved by me. God, I pray they feel loved by you. And I pray that they've heard your message to them. Why are you down? Why are you mad? Why are you sad? Just do what's right, and you'll be accepted. God, I pray we've heard your warning that sin wants us bad. But I pray we won't let it. I pray we'll be a church that sets about mastering our righteousness. We're grateful for the faults that we will commit. But God, we beg you to keep us from willful sins. May they not rule over us and reveal to us the sins we don't even see, our hidden faults. Help us see it. God, thank you for Jesus' death on the cross, his broken body. I know he saw us as clear as a bell. He saw all our sin. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, help us be broken by that. Help us be grateful. We love you. We love you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.